This is a podcast from Rover.
It's the Slam Dunk.
Education is our second biggest spend in every budget, and it goes up every year by eye-watering amounts. Under Labor, the costs have spiralled, and in the last budget, we spent $21.5 billion on education. $21.5 billion. And $4 billion of that was new spending from Labor. What we got for the increase, no one is sure. More education officials, probably. And only our spend on welfare is greater, or at least bigger. But welfare spending doesn't inspire anyone. Education can inspire, and it should be a positive story to tell, except it's not. And Erica Stafford has every right to seek a better return on the government's investment into education. $21 billion you put into it, and no one's sure if it's any good. If you go and put $21 billion into something, what would you say or feel or think at the end of each year as the outcomes got worse? All that money that goes into these kids in education, and the achievements are going backwards. Even the most basic tests across reading, writing and maths show a serious decline for New Zealand children. So despite all the investment, we're going backwards. And against the world standard, it's terrible. And as much as National's trying to squarely blame this on the last government, loose with spending and slack with follow-ups and demands for excellence in the classroom, there were no tests being done as to whether the money was going anywhere. But they can't get away with it, National, because the blowtorch should be on both parties across the last 30 years, because this has been an industry that's been completely stuffed for 30 years, because we've put money in and sought no outcomes. We haven't asked the question, is the money working? I've put this through the blowtorch that comes with being editor-in-chief, and I've run National's claims through my honesty box. Both shades of government are to blame for this. Our student achievement levels have been in decline for 30 years. Have we squandered this $21 billion already this year with the same old approach that strives for nothing more than mediocrity? Our curriculum is outdated. Our workforce needs serious professional development. Our boys are doing worse than girls. And almost half of our kids prefer to stay home or look cool at the local mall by sucking a vape and sucking the life out of their futures at the same time. Sadly, we're now hiring truancy officers rather than careers advisors to get them back into the classroom. What they really need is inspiration, not force-feeding them back into a system that they find irrelevant and uninspiring. That's why they're not there. They're not inspired because they're failing. They need the curriculum to represent the lives that they lead and the jobs that they will go into. Is our teaching workforce modern or is it aged and outdated? Well, we're going to find that out very shortly with a review of them. But how do we make school a relevant thing again when they get so much information via their devices? Schools and teachers simply can't keep up with that pace. Success in this seems so far away. And right now the system looks so sick, so disengaged, that this is alarming, and I think it's a crisis of national importance, actually. The whole thing needs a modern overhaul, because with AI here, teachers and students are going to face new threats. The world won't wait for them to keep up. The weakest without skills will be further left behind. And the latest report on all of that says if a teenager chooses welfare today, they will likely stay on welfare for an average of 24 years. It's why there's only one choice, and that's education, going to school. It matters. We need to inspire. We need it to work. And I want to leave you with two choices and two questions here. Why, when kids fail, do we simply promote them to the next level in the next year, knowing that they are going to struggle? The struggle gets even worse. And will teachers cooperate with National and its intentions, or is this a swipe at teachers as well? Because if kids are failing more than ever, then why haven't the teachers blown the whistle earlier? And why haven't they been shouting about this on the rooftops? Or, as teachers, are they responsible for this as well? And are they trying to avoid the accountability and the spotlight that should come with such failure? If our kids are failing, aren't our teachers failing as well? This is one massive shake-up from the new minister, and I support it.
Duncan Garner,
Editor-in-Chief.